Right. Okay. They're doing their thing. First of all, I've given this assignment before and haven't had this problem, but apparently the S over here shouldn't have been here. There's an S over there. It's forwards. What I wanted you to do, and if you didn't, well, let me start out by... What I wanted you to do was have a loop and take one thing within the loop and do the loop five times. Some people, and I think it was maybe an inside the loop, got prompted for the score, and I shouldn't have had an S there. I was thinking of it as multiple passes through the loop, but that's apparently not how it was interpreted by some. So some people have three things coming within the loop, and then they do the loop five times. Now, if you do it right and it works, then I'll take it. But if it doesn't work, then obviously I won't. But if you do it right, and you really have three things in the loop, and you really come out with the right average and everything, then I said that's fine. But, all I really wanted was one score within the loop and do it five times. Now, the way you do it, if you put three scores within the loop, I curse you and you curse me because we each have to type in 15 numbers to test the thing, okay? Whereas if you only have one score within the loop, you only have to type in five numbers, okay? So, I really meant for that to be just one thing in there, okay? So, if you haven't written it or if you... I'm about halfway through assignment two. I'll probably finish it up tonight, tomorrow morning, and so everybody will get it back.
You got one more coming?
Come now.
Okay. I've got a lot more coming. They came in very late. Okay. Other things. Next week, I'm out. There is an open lab in this room Monday from 11 to 3, Pat?
11 to 3.
Yeah. And Thursday from 9:30 to 2:30?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that's going to be here as well.
Well, you'll have to get out at 2.
Okay, yeah, so then the last
and
time.
And go over to K118.
Something like that.
And Jess, who used to do this for me, is probably going to be here as well to help Pat. So, who used to be Pat's job, basically,
it's
last year.
And then everyone shows up.
And she says she thinks she can do it. She's going to let me know today. So there'll be two people here to help.
Tuesday's
a holiday. Yeah, so everybody's home. Tuesday's a holiday.
I guess
that's... Okay. Tuesday's Veterans Day. So everybody is got the day off Tuesday. Now, the following week... Hush! The following week... The guy from Meditech is coming in to talk on during class time. He'll take about a half a period, I guess, and we'll do visual basic the other half. But he's coming in to talk about Meditech and the kinds of jobs they have. And that's mainly programmers and web developers they're looking for. But they also take a bunch of other people. Okay? And that's happening on the 18th. But it's during class time. On the 20th at 2 o'clock, and you should be getting a letter if you haven't gotten a letter from it, somebody from the naval base is coming in, and they're interested in networking, security, or forensics majors. They're basically interested in networking, security, and forensics is okay, too. And they're coming in and talking about what looks like a fabulous opportunity for an internship. So if you're interested in that, you should definitely go. And I will put up the room when I... Oh, I don't know what the room is, but I'll put it up when I find out. I know how to find out.
What time? On
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
And so 2 o'clock on that Thursday is going to be that. So if you're in programming and web development, you definitely should pay attention to Meditech because they hire a lot of our people. And if you're in networking, security, or forensics, you should definitely plan to go to that meeting because they are presumably going to take 4 or 5 people.
I'll probably
at
switch
least.
My hours that day so that way people in here can go. So okay. On that Thursday.
And I can stay late that Thursday, too.
Yeah. I'll just, you know, yeah, I'll probably be instead of 2 to 3.
That's the 20th.
Yeah.
Now, on the 21st, I'm in here for a project with high school kids. And if anybody is interested, I could definitely use a couple of volunteers to help the high school kids. We're going to teach a little HTML. And that would be Friday the 21st in the morning. And I could definitely use a couple of volunteers to help out with that. Huh?
I got a class that day.
Really?
8 to 12.
Friday?
It's
accounting.
Oh, it's glorious.
8 to 12, wow. And then what I thought I would do is I would stay. So Friday afternoon, I'll be available if people need help on the 21st. Okay? So Friday afternoon, I'll be around. And if you volunteer to help me in the morning, I'll give you extra time in the afternoon. That's known as a bribe. All right? So, anyway, I will put all that stuff up on the web, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on that that was happening.
What time does the Meditech thing happen? What time?
During class. He's going to do it both classes.
Is it open to everybody or is it just the classes?
Yeah, for everyone.
So people around campus can go in here?
No. CIS majors can. Okay, because we don't have that many seats. So, I mean, I will tell the other instructors in the department, but I don't particularly want to bring in non-CIP. Have the room for it. And besides, what they're looking for, the program is a web developer, mainly. And so, you know, that's what they want to see. Okay. Now we're going to go into Visual Basic, now that I've finished all my notes. Okay, there's a couple of these that I want to do today. One of them is called First If, and it's under the one that says BBB Fall 11 or something. One is called First Math, one is called User Input, and one is called Work Areas. So those are the four that I want you to download and unzip. And let's see, while that's doing its thing. And I don't know if we'll make it through all of these today or whether we will have to look at them another time. But the ones I want to look at is First If, which is inside that folder, so you have to unzip the whole thing. Okay, so First If is in there. I want First Math, I want User Input, and I want Work Areas. So those are the ones that potentially I'm going to get to today. So if you download those and unzip them, that would be great. Something or other.
Inside of V something or other? Yeah.
And Work Areas.
It's inside a folder that's VBF11 something or other.
Oh, right here. Programs. VBF11?
F11, I think
yep.
It is.
Yep. You got it. Does anyone have any issues finding this?
So it's in VB F11C120, and it's called First Inf.
So you got that?
What was the other two?
Work areas and...
User input, work areas, and first math.
Which one do I do it? SNL one for work areas?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm going to open right away. I'm going to open the first gift first. That's probably what you should open.
No, I already have first gift.
I would just download them all and then zip them all.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to go.
This is the one that first BB F11 is what we're doing right now. And inside it, we have its first gift. Because work areas, user input, and what will we doing here? First math and first if.
Yep. Or if first, whatever it is. First if.
There you go. Yep. Anyone else having any issues trying to find it? I can help you out now. Yep. First if. Yep. Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to open first if, so I'm clicking on first if, and then I click on the SLN. Okay, and the SLN will open it. So I click on the SLN.
Yeah, mine did not load properly.
Did you extract it okay?
Oh, it's just not a problem.
Yeah, extract it. Everyone good?
Which one is the opening first?
F, the F1, first F.
If first, first if. Seems to be comfortable with unzipping and opening things. Without any problems.
A lot of pirates in zip files that are
open.
A lot of pirates in this class.
Wait, is first if first if?
First if first.
First if inside there. So
first is first if.
And then that's
first if first? Whatever you want to say.
So first break. We're doing a first math, right?
That will be next.
It's like, it's on rotation.
It's under that.
It's on zip. And then the first, first.
Yeah.
Yep. Inside it.
What is this?
Everyone good?
So, what have I got here? I've got three labels. I've got four different text boxes. And I've got two buttons. Okay? And so if I look at these, my label is named LBL Department. And all my other labels will have LBL in front of them. My text box is called Text Department. And all of them will have TXT in front of them. And my button is called button check. Okay? And you can see it both places. You can see it here and you can see it there. So that you know what properties you're looking at. Because,
double click on it.
On the fall.
Double click on FRM first, you'll get your. You'll get the display of that little window there.
Okay. Sometimes when you open, what it does is, notice the little half diamond there? If you click that, it opens and closes just like that half diamond uses in most places.
Close that.
If you click this, it closes and those things are underneath. If you open it, then you see them. Okay?
Go to that.
And then. Okay, so basically, and this is the form, and the form I gave a name to, a file name to, and I called it form first. That has gotten kind of difficult to do, all kind of sloppy. So I haven't been naming the forms. I haven't even named the forms. Just calling them form one is fine. They've kind of changed how that does, and it's not as clear as it used to be. Okay, and it's not as important, so I just left it be at form one. Okay, so if I click on one of these buttons, again, what it does is it comes up with the name of the button, which is button check underscore click. And then my second button is button another underscore click. Okay, and it writes those lines, yeah.
Can I just say an alternative to, like, instead of clicking somewhere on the screen?
No, I said click on the button.
Yeah, oh, a button on the button.
Right.
You can actually right-click on frmfirst.bb and just hit view code. So you don't have to, if you accidentally hit something on there, like a label, it won't make that new subroutine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just adds more on there and you're like, I don't need this.
Right. No, right. And if you click in a blank place on the form, it'll actually make a load subroutine.
Yeah, well.
So you don't want to click on a blank place. Okay, so here I have some if statements, and I also have a variable. So in Visual Basic, my variable is defined with a dim. Okay, in JavaScript we used a var, now we're using a dim. Dimension, I think. But it stands for basically the same as variables. I define a variable with a dim. Question for Pat or me? Okay, well, if it's looking at your screen, it's Pat. If it's a question to answer, it's me.
It's a general question.
Okay.
Is the private sub line, is that kind of like the HTML line in Java, like it's necessary at the beginning of?
No, it's necessary, but it's not like that in the sense that what I'm making here is modules or subroutines. Much more like what you did in Alice, actually, where you made a module or procedure or subroutine, whatever you want to call it. It's much more like that. So what I'm doing here is when I double-click on it, it sets up that whole line.
Right.
I didn't do anything.
Right.
All it does is say, this subroutine is associated with clicking on that button. So that when you click on that button, it will be executed. And by putting a button on there and clicking on it, it will make that routine. Okay, so if I go back to the form, the design, and I just grab a button over here and leave it as button one, and if I double click on it, it has now made a button one click subroutine. And I can write all the code that goes with button one click there. So double clicking on that new button, and I did nothing to the button. I just put it on the form and I left the name button one, and it has now created a button one click subroutine. Okay, now I don't particularly want that, so I'm going to make it go away. But that's just to show you how that works. So I'll go to design, and I'll make it go away there, too. Okay? So, now what I've got is I've got the two routines. And if I click on the another check, it puts the cursor inside the button another click. So it actually puts the cursor inside the one I click on. Okay? So, back to my div. I've got a dim, and I define a dim called workdiff. Lots of times I put a WK in front of it because that stands, in my mind at least, for a work area. So that tells me that it's a work area. sometimes I'm not that organized, but sometimes I actually remember to put the WK there, which helps me remember what it is, that it's a work area. Now, I'm defining this as an integer, which means a whole number. Okay, in JavaScript, we did not pick a type. In Visual Basic and most other languages, a lot of other languages, you tell it whether this is a numeric field or a text field, you tell it the type, which you did when we did Access. In Access, when you set up a database, you told it the type. You said, this is going to be a number, this is going to be string, you told it the type. Okay? So I now have a work area. Now this work area is actually local or private, which means that none of the other modules know about it. Only this module knows about it. So if I went to the other routine and did something with workdiff, it would say, huh, I don't know what workdiff is, because it's local to this subroutine. If I want it available in all of them, I can put it right up here, and anything I put in there is what's called local, which means all of the subroutines can see it. So if it's up there, it's global and all of the subroutines can see it. If it's within a subroutine, it is local to that subroutine. And only that subroutine can see it. Okay. Private and public also work as explanations. Local is private to the subroutine. Global is public to them all. But I like local and global better. Okay, so now I'm doing a calculation. Now, I am saying I want to take textbudget.text, which was on the form, and subtract textspent.text, and get workdiff. Okay. Now, when I am using the contents of the fields on the form, I need to use .text because the fields on the form have all of the properties that we see over here. And I have to tell it that I'm interested in the text property. When I define a memory variable, it doesn't have a bunch of properties, it's just got a number. And so I don't put the .text there because it doesn't have properties. It's just a memory variable. So it's just a little variable that's set up in memory. Okay? So that's why I say workdiff, that's a variable, equals textbudget.text, the text from that field, minus the text from the textspent field. So whatever I type in is going to be subtracted. Okay, so I'm going to put in Department 12, the budget is $5,000, and they've spent $2,000. And I'm going to then check. So at this point, it says $3,000 is what you have left to spend. So I did the calculation, workdiff has got 3,000 in it, okay? As I said, take and subtract 2,000 from 5,000, and that leaves me 3,000. Then I did a check, and I said, if workdiff is greater than 1,000, I want to put in this text result box, workdiff, which you can see is right there, concatenated with the message. And so it wrote out, 3,000 is what you have to spend. Questions?
Does the, I don't see the department. line?
I didn't end up using it.
Oh, okay.
I just made you type it in for the sake of typing it in.
Does everyone understand how to open up that window? Get the little green arrow on the top? Just figured I'd just throw that.
Okay, so now if I make this go away and I change this and I now say that they spent $4,500, it comes back and it says you have $1,000 left to spend. Because when I you have $1,000 or less to spend. I didn't give them to a gift there, I just told them they would get close. So my else says, just a message, you have $1,000 or less to spend. Okay, so the difference between 5,000 and 4,500 is 500, and so that work diff greater than 1,000, I got a no, so it took the else. Okay, so now, on the next one, let's look at the flowchart that would work for this. If I say, I want to ask if the department is CI. So this one, at least I'm using the department. If the department is CI, then I want to ask about the budget. So I'm saying, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, I'm saying, but it will not change. Here I am saying request, put out a request. And if it's not CI, I'm saying not CI. You don't get any money. Okay, so if you're not CI, you don't get any money. We don't care about you. Okay, so there is the logic that I have in that subroutine. So notice I have an if, and then after the if, if the if is true, okay, if the if is true, I come down and I ask the second question. Is the budget greater than 5,000? And if that's true, I write out, will not change. Else attaches to the first available if, so it attaches up there. And Visual Basic very nicely indents for you. Okay? So that if you're not good about indenting, it will indent for you. It will fix it. And that indenting really makes it much clearer what goes with what. You can see what the else goes with. You can see what the and if goes with. So if I get a no to that budget question I put out, you can make a request. Then I drop down, and this else goes with the top if about department. And so if that was false, I write out not the CI department. Okay? So basically, it's like the same ifs that we've done in logic, like the ifs that we've done in JavaScript, but I don't have curly braces here. Okay? It takes everything between the if and the else is what it should do if it's true, and everything between the else and the end if is what it should do if it's false. So this is the true, this is the false. And over here, this is the true, this is the false. So it limits the what you want to do if it's true and what you want to do if it's false with the words else and end if. As opposed to JavaScript and C and Java, which all delimit with curly braces. Okay. My personal opinion is the else and end ifs are much easier to keep track of than the curly braces.
Got that right.
something like this might promote, like, writing bad codes and so many other things. Do you use the curly braces?
I think this one, also, the nice thing about this one is when you type in if, it throws in an end if for you. Because it knows you're going to want it.
It also adds the then.
Yeah.
Yes, it also adds the then. So if I write down here, if text department dot text equals CI, and then hit enter, notice it added in the then, and it added in the end if. Okay, so wouldn't that be nice if it added in the closed curly brace whenever I put the curly brace in? Well, you can do that. You know, Pat suggested that at one point, and a lot of people do that. If you put in the open curly brace, immediately put in the closed one, so you know it's there. Okay? Well, JavaScript just does it for you. Now, like everything in Microsoft, the do-it-for-you is wonderful most of the time, but at other times, it gets a little carried away, and that's not what I wanted, thank you very much, and, you know, I have to go back and fix it. Okay. So that would be an if statement in there, and it adds it in. And then if I were to write, okay, I'll put this up, message box CI, and then I write else, and notice I wrote the else like that. Notice for another thing that it gives you a thing, it moved it over so that it knows that it goes with that. And now I'm going to put up message box, not CI. Important stuff I'm writing there. All right? Now, a message box is like an alert. Okay? So the alert that you can put up in JavaScript, you can put up a message box here. Okay? So that works like an alert. So if I now run this, and I type in CI, and I type in 6,000, and I don't think this one even cares about the cent, but I'll put it in anyway, and I click another check, it says your budget will not change, and then it dropped down and it did the alert. So this caused that to happen. This caused that to happen. Okay? So the message box puts up an alert. And that's lots of times very helpful. Now, the other thing that a message box does for you is it stops processing, just like an alert does. Okay, nothing is going to happen until I click the OK and make it go away. So if I had other code down here beneath that if statement, it would not be executed until I click the OK on the alert. So processing has stopped. And sometimes you like processing to stop. You can use a message box to make that happen, yeah. Oh, I thought you had a question. Okay, questions. Okay. So now when I click the OK, it's all done. I didn't have anything else for it to do, so the things are done.
Actually, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
With alerts, you can put up, like if you're trying to run a program and you debug it.
Yeah.
You can put it in so once it gets to that, you know that section of the program is fine. It okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You lose it just like an alert.
All right.
Okay. Now, there is a other way of writing message box that gives you 5,000 things and what I come to choose and everything else, and we're not even going there. But basically, this version is like an alert. Okay. So hopefully what you're seeing to some degree is that a language is a language. there are different things, but they all have similarities, and you can usually find equivalents. When you look at the assignments, by the way, there's a quiz due the Tuesday, sometime anyway,
next Thursday.
It's due. It's I gave you longer time because there's actually 20 questions instead of 10, so I gave you a longer time. You will notice that the homework assignment that I put out for this week is to do the first JavaScript assignment, but now do it in Visual Basic. So what I'm trying to do is have you see the similarities and the differences. So I'm told you to do the first JavaScript assignment, but now do it in Visual Basic. Okay? And I think I've got all of JavaScript 1 back to you, unless it was unclear in the subject what it was. I found one last night that I had no idea that that was a JavaScript assignment. So if you haven't got it done, try to send that to me, and then I can correct it, and that will help you write it in Visual Basic to know that you didn't make any mistakes in JavaScript. Okay. So the next one that I want to open is going to be File, Open Project, and this would be First Math. Okay, this is very similar to the one that we did before, in that the top part has the add, subtract, multiply, and divide that we did before. Then I put in here a comparison. So if you look at button question one, I put in a comparison. And I said, is the text in text first equal to the text in text second? And if it is, put out the message same. Otherwise, put out the message different.
It's very unavailable.
Mine is unavailable.
Did you unzip it?
No. Anytime you see it's unavailable, it may be not unzipped.
Right.
There's a debug.
There's a quick and easy debug. Okay, so if I put in 4 and 4 and I click on question one, it says the same. And if I put in 4 and 5 and I click on question one, it says different. Okay, so all I was doing there was comparing the contents of two fields. Okay.
You gotta right click and reload the content. What's
that?
Right click and reload the content.
So, all this was doing was checking to see if this was equal to this. Okay? Now notice that those are not equal. If I type 4 and 0, 4, they're not equal. Because it is comparing text. This is text. Everything that is typed in on the form is text. It doesn't know whether it's a number. It doesn't know what it is. Kind of like JavaScript. And so if I compare tech 4 to 04 or to 04, it's comparing the actual characters, 4 to 04. It's not comparing numbers, it's comparing the actual characters. And so it says that they are different. Now, down below, I took and I said, I convert it to numeric so that it would work accurately. Okay, so I convert it to numeric. And how I convert it to numeric is I said cint. And I also mentioned last time that you could use val, but I use cint. And this time I asked, is it greater than, is it less than, or is it equal to? Okay? So, now if I type question two, because this is question two, it is saying first is equal to second. Because when it converted it to a number, when it converts those to a number, 4 is equal to 0.4, because leading zeros don't matter. Trailing zeros do, but leading zeros don't. So when I convert it to a number, that will mean that I've got a match. So if I put in the convert first, text first.text to a number, and then convert text second.text to a number, and then do the comparison, then I'm getting the answer. And on this one, they were the same, so I got first is equal to second. So first equal to second, yeah.
You converted it by putting the C into
Arthur. Right, exactly. What that conversion does is convince JavaScript or Visual Basic that this is a number. It's basically saying treat this as a number. Again, if I put an A in there, it can't convert it to a number. But data that is typed on the form is kind of like JavaScript in that it doesn't really have a type. Data that I define in work areas, and here's one down here, then work answer as integer, I give it a type and that's not a problem. But when I don't give it a type, then what I can say is turn it into an integer or C decimal turns it into a decimal. And if I turn it into a decimal or turn it into an integer, then it knows it's a number and it uses it for math correctly and it uses it for comparisons correctly. Now, in some things, we're not forced to do that. The kind of the minus, the equals, and the slash when I am, I'm sorry, the minus, the asterisk, and the slash, kind of have built into it. You wouldn't be asking me to multiply unless it's two numbers. You wouldn't be asking me to divide unless it's two numbers. So it's convinced without me having to do C integer. Okay? But when in doubt, you can always throw in C integer or C des. If things aren't working the way you think they should work, they can't do any harm. And the next one is use variable. And that's what I have there. So I said dim work answer as an integer. So dim defines a variable. If I want to use it in this subroutine, if I want to use it in multiple or all subroutines, I put the definition right under public class, which makes it global. Okay. So here I just said work answer equals text first minus text second. And then I said if work answer is greater than zero, then write greater than zero. Otherwise, write not greater than zero. Not exciting things that I'm doing here. But it said not greater than zero. And if I put in here a 6 and a 4, use variable, it's greater than zero. okay? Because when I subtracted them, I got a 2, and 2 is greater than 0. Questions? Yeah.
So, I remember you said that C integer was like using the parse float in JavaScript.
Parse integer more. Parse float is more C-DES, C-DEC.
Okay, because I'm still trying to remember what the difference was between parse float and parse float.
Parse integer is a whole number. An integer is a whole number. Okay, an integer can't have decimal places.
So could you essentially infuse them either way? You'll basically get the same answer, but...
If you don't care about decimals,
right,
you can use it either way.
Just display it.
You can use C-DES just fine on these here.
Okay.
But C, sometimes you care.
Yeah.
And you only want whole numbers for something you're doing. For example, you can't sell half a pan. Okay, so inventory tends to be something that you only want integers on because you can't sell a half a pan. I'm not buying a half a pan. And decimal is more what you have to do if you're dealing with money and things like that. You got to have decimal. Okay, we're going to open a third one. So file, close solution, and I'm going to open user input. So this one is called user input, and it has a field for name, and it has a click here button, and it has a field that's going to get gross pay. Okay, so if I look at the code, this is the code. So let me go ahead and run this one, and you'll see how it works, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so, whoops, there is the data. So, Susan, and now I'm going to say click here, and it comes up with this prompt. And this is basically, you can see it's called here, it brings up an input box. So what does that look like in JavaScript?
There you go,
prompt. Okay, so prompt is what I use in JavaScript. Here I'm using input box. Okay, so again, you've got the similarity. I can bring up user input using prompt in JavaScript. Here I can bring it up using input box. And in fact, in JavaScript, there's ways to do forms that would look like these forms that we're doing here. We just don't get into that in this class. We get into it in other classes, but this is really just a let's play with programming enough so that you know what programming is, as opposed to teaching you a whole language or anything. Okay, so I'm going to put in hours worked of 40, maybe. I'm going to put in hours worked of 40 and say okay. And then it says enter pay per hour, and I'm going to put in 50. And I've now got 2,000. Okay, so I put in that I worked, what?
So I did my real pay.
Well, it's not too far out of here that you actually probably. A few years out, you can actually start talking about you're worth $50 an hour. So what I've done here is I dimmed work hours as a decimal number. I dimmed work pay per hour as a decimal number, and I dimmed work gross pay as a decimal number. So I set up three work areas.
And that's so you don't have to put C desks anywhere else or in front of
That's right.
Or...
Work areas, as long as I define a type, I'm all set. So then I say, okay, work hours equals, and I put out the input box. And it looks very much like the input box that I put out. And I'll run it in a minute, but hours is kind of the title of it. And then it tells you what to enter. And then I said, enter your pay per hour, and I put out the hourly pay rate. Then I said, okay, multiply those together and put that into work gross pay. And then I said, okay, I want to format work gross pay as currency and then put it in the text box. So I'm saying take that number, which was 2,000, and format it as currency, which gets me the dollar sign and the comma, which makes it look nice when I put it out. So I said format it as currency. And that just puts it out on the form. So I now have 2,000 out there. Questions? We do JavaScript first because it makes this seem really easy. Okay, so if I run this again, okay, it's asking me to put in a name, Stephen. And then I'm saying click here. And notice, okay, look at the prompt. Hours goes there, and enter hours worked is there. Okay, so the first thing I put is within the form, within the kind of gray part, and the hours is more of a title, so it kind of puts it in that blue line.
Does it just do that based on whatever you write out first?
Whatever I write out first goes inside, and whatever I write second becomes the title.
So how come when you enter the hours worked, you put it in when it comes out to the total for total text gross pay, you have to put dot text in, you don't have to let the end of pay per hour.
Say that again. Like, I'm sorry, I'm lost.
You enter the hours worked.
Yep.
You enter however much you make per hour. How come those don't have a dot text in?
Because their work area is not fields on the form.
And then the text gross pay is the work area?
Yes. And you can see it is. It's right there. That's text gross pay right there. Anytime I use a field on the form, then it has properties. And so you've seen that list of properties. I can change the color of it. I can do anything. And so I have to tell it that the text property is what I'm interested in. When I define a memory variable, it's just that. A box in memory that holds something. So it doesn't have properties all over the place. It's just a box in memory that holds something. So work areas just hold a piece of data. Text boxes have properties.
You're putting it in a text box, technically.
At the end, I'm putting it in a text box because I want it to appear on the form.
Right then, you're putting it.
Well,
but
not really.
But you change the color of those because you make it so you can type it in as red or different color too.
I don't think I can. Actually, I may be able to, but I don't know. I can't easily, okay? And if I were to look in the 5,000 miles of documentation, I might actually find a way to do it, but I honestly have never cared enough.
I don't care either. It doesn't have a dot text on it.
Yeah, no, basically the input box is just basically apparently it's like a prompt and it's taking in data. When I actually set up a form in JavaScript, which as I said we didn't do, then instead of dot text I actually have to use dot value. To get it out of the form, if I set up a form in JavaScript, I have to use something to get it out. Whereas with a prompt in JavaScript, I don't have to use anything. And with the input box here, I don't have to. Yeah.
All right, now the gross pay exit. front Lee Course Bay. You need that there, right?
Right.
Because the text is just the box, the first part of it.
Well, yeah, okay. First of all, what I'm doing is saying I've just calculated Lee Course Bay.
Yeah.
Now, Visual Basic has given me a whole bunch of functions. And one of the functions is format as currency. So it is saying, take that and format it as currency. And when you're done, assign it as the text in text gross pay.
So that's just the gross pay that shows up.
That's right. This is what's showing up, is right there.
It's kind of like JavaScript, where you have to put something in quotation marks if you want that little, right?
Like the document, right? Command with JavaScript.
Yeah. Although, as I said, we've only gone so far in JavaScript. There's miles to go if you actually get into JavaScript.
Yeah, next one.
So, basically what I've got there is I've done it. Now, to illustrate the point about properties just a little bit more, if I get out of this now and I come over here and I decide, looking at the form, that I want to make gross pay have a four color of custom red. Property is not valid. Oh, excuse me. What's wrong with that? Text gross pay. I want to make that have a... Okay, let's try back color and see if it's happy with that. I want to make it have a back color of light yellow. Property valid is not... Oh! Duh! Okay, and you'll all do that too, so let me point it out. I never actually stopped the program. It's still running, so I can't change the properties. I'm saying, what's wrong here? Okay, go up there and click on the box, get the green thing back. Now I can change the properties. So I'm going to make the four color, let's say, red, and I'm going to make the back color a light yellow. Okay, so now if I run this, and I put in and click here, and I put in 34 and 34, and now my answer is coming up red and yellow background. So this box, okay guys, this box has properties, and it has basically a four color property now that's been set and a back property that's been set, and I want to set the text property. Okay, and I'm doing the text setting within the program. I'm doing the color setting here. Now, I could do the color setting within the program. We're not going there. For now, the color setting you get to do in properties. But I could do that within. Okay?
Does that change how it comes up when you click on the button?
It just comes up in red now.
I'm saying how it comes in red. Once you double click on it, if you double click on the yellow, it stops. I didn't know if it was going to work.
No, it's not going to do anything except change the display. The only thing it did was change the display. It changes how it looked. But the point is that the reason I have to put the dot text is there are a lot of properties associated with that box. And so I have to be specific about what property it is that I'm impacting. And I'm impacting the text property. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to look at the last one that I wanted to look at, which is File, Open Project, and it is Work Areas. And on this one, you can see my little label here. I actually went in and I changed the background color, and I went into this and I changed and made it bold. So you can see I changed the background color and I made that word come out as bold. So I made it stand out. Okay? Well, I'm putting someone to sleep. Okay. Okay, so here I define work answer up here under public class, and that made it global. Okay, which means that I can talk about work answer in this subroutine, and I can talk about work answer in this subroutine. All of the subroutines can see it because it's global. Okay, so another one that we did before, when I defined it inside the subroutine, other subroutines couldn't see it. But when I make it global, I can use it in all of the areas. Okay. So I defined that as global, so I could use it in multiple subroutines.
So when you're dragging that over, how do you make it either public or private?
It's location. First of all, I don't drag that over. I just write that. Anything in here, I'm just writing.
You could just, because last time, didn't we drag them over?
We made the stuff over to make the forms. But when I'm doing this, I'm just writing. It makes the private end sub. When I double click, it makes the private and the end sub. I have to write the stuff in between. Because I am telling it what I want it to do. Okay, so I have to make a routine. So, if I, for example, drag another button over here and call this button. So I'm going to give it a name, and I'm going to call it BTN whatever. And I'm going to go down to the text, and I'm going to change that to whatever. Okay? So it now says whatever.
Can you make that private?
It is. It's going to be. Wait a minute. That you're mixing apples and oranges. Wait just a minute. When I double-click on that, it makes a subroutine. And here's the subroutine, and it makes all subroutines private. So it's making the subroutine. Here's button, whatever, click. So now I put the code in here that I want it to do when I click on that button. So I'm going to say I want to make text answer dot text equal to 1,000. Okay, that's what I want to do. Okay? So now I'm writing what I want to happen inside there. So that when this button is clicked, so if I run this now, and I click the whatever button, it makes answer 1,000. Okay? So it does what I told it to do. I simply told it to take 1,000 and put it in that box. And it put it in that box. Okay. So, that's subroutines. Now, data is different from subroutines. And I think that's where apples and oranges are coming in. Data is different. Data can be two kinds of data. You can set up text boxes on the form to hold data. And you can define a variable to hold data. Okay? So you have those two kinds of ways you can hold data. if you define a variable, you can define it within a subroutine, which means only that subroutine knows about it, and it's local to that subroutine. Or you can define it up at the top as global, and then all subroutines can see it. Yeah.
You have to type that in, though, right?
I'd have to type that in.
Yeah, because every box is just basically something on that format you dragged over a text box or a label or something.
That's right. But variables I have to write and so define.
I think that's what he was thinking, that when you drag something over, that's what made that pop up.
No, it makes the form.
Yeah.
The dragging is creating the form.
So,
okay? Once I'm inside there, the only thing it does for me is the private subline and the end subline. The rest of it I've got to write.
So if you want to make it public or private, you could just erase private.
Yeah, and we're not going to go into all of the ramifications of public and private.
It automatically sets it to private.
Right.
It really helps that it keeps everything, every subroutine group together, like with the lines and stuff. And
yeah, no, it does. It does. And these are modules. So when we talk about modules, that's what we've got here, is these are modules. And depending on what button I click on, and again, there's loads more. We're doing, Visual Basic, okay? We're not going into anything too exciting.
So we know about 10% of each language so far.
I'd say more like 1%.
All right, 1% of each
language
so far.
Very
okay. And if you stay in this field long enough, the percentage of what I know decreases every day because there are new discoveries coming out, and I can't possibly keep up with the million new discoveries that come out every day. So, you get stupider and stupider the more you stay in this field, okay?
Learning to learn less.
That's right. So anyway, here we go. So that is it. Now, if I come down here and I want to define a variable, and I can put it in here and I can say, okay, dim work something as an integer. And then I can come down and say, now notice this is kind of interesting. It gives me a curly line under here, and in fact, I disagree with Microsoft about that. Why are you doing that? The reason is that we haven't used it yet, and so it gives me a curly line, and I think that's really stupid. So when I come up here and say work something equals 1200, it's now happy because I used it, and so we're all happy. Okay, so now I've got that, and I'm going to say, okay, work answer equals, and I'm going to put rather text answer. I'm going to say it equals work something. Okay, so I defined work something. I set work something equal to 1200, and now I'm saying take that 1200 and put it into work answer. So when I click the whatever button, it makes it 1200. Okay, so I defined a variable, and I put it in to text answer. Okay. So now I'm going to go in here, and we'll put in another button. And we're going to call that another. Whoops, what did I just do? Yeah, there it is, another. And we're going to name it button another. Okay, so when I double click on this, it is going to make another subroutine. So now I'm going to just take these two lines and copy them and put them here. Okay? And it is yelling at me because it doesn't know what work dim work something is. Because dim work something was defined in this subroutine. It was not defined in that subroutine. Right. So it's yelling at me and saying, what is this work something? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? It doesn't follow me. Now, if I take this line and I copy this definition and I put it up here at the top, okay, now notice that everything is happy. Actually, I meant to take it out of there. I copied it, so I leave it just up at the top. So now everything is happy because I've defined it globally up at the top, so all the subroutines know about it. Putting it up at the top means all the subroutines know about it. Okay? So now it is happy, and if I click on and button another, it makes it 1,200. And if I click on button whatever, it makes it 1,200. So when it's global, it can, all subroutines can see it. If it's local, only the subroutine where it's defined can see it. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You can also, I just want to say, you can also make it so you say dim work something as integer equals 1200.
That's true.
If you want to make it one line instead of calling work something underneath.
You know, just like in JavaScript where you can assign a value to something, if I want to, I can come up here and say equals 1200. And then I can take that away. And I'll actually leave that one and make it 15. Okay? So now, if I click on another, it gets me the 1200. Because I gave it, what this is called is an initial value. And it's only an initial value. It can be changed. So that's calling it an initial value. So now if I get out of the ink thing and I go and I click whatever, it makes it 1500. Because whatever overrode, okay, I gave this an initial value of 1200. Whatever set it to 1500. And so when it displayed the 1500. Down here I didn't change it, so it displayed 1200. But initial values can be changed. And initial values are frequently used to set.
Where's the